From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
It's 1 p.m. and Current Sports has graced your radio. I'm your host, Al Martin. On this beautiful Tuesday, November 19th, 2013, I trust you all are having a lovely start to your week. I know I sure am. Tons are happening in the world of Mid-Michigan sports and beyond, and the Current Sports team has you covered. Today, we'll talk a little MSU basketball, tell you about some sad news in the NFL world, and also take your calls throughout this entire show on the weirdest sports stories that you've ever heard, read, or even witnessed. That's right, it's our Top 5 Tuesday segment. What are some of the weirdest sports stories that you can remember? If you call in and share, you will automatically be entered in our drawing to win two MSU home football tickets to the final home game of the season against Minnesota at Spartan Stadium on November 30th. Give us a call. Again, we're asking you to call in and give us some of the weirdest sports stories that you can recall in sports history, okay? 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And you know I have to remind you all about Current Sports TV this week. Yes, you can be in the TV studio audience this week when my guest on Current Sports is former NFL and MSU running back Todd T.J. Duckett. Yes, Duckett played at MSU from 1999 to 2001 and played in the NFL for Seattle, Detroit, Washington, and Atlanta. Today, Duckett heads up New World Flood, which is a service organization that works to help youth become change agents in their communities. Recording takes place 6:30 p.m. Wednesday at WKAR Studios on the MSU campus. Seats are totally free, folks. Yes, totally free, but reservations are strongly recommended because seating is limited. That's right, limited space, folks. That's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, and guest T.J. Duckett. To reserve your free seats to be in the TV audience, just visit WKAR.org, go to that link, and you will see the instructions on how to sign up. It takes 5 seconds, folks. I look forward to seeing your beautiful faces tomorrow night, all right? Well, let's get to the show. Here are your current sports headliners on this November 19th, 2013. Well, Michigan State earned a top spot in the AP press poll by beating the then-top-ranked Kentucky team last week. Keith Appling matched a career high last night with 25 points to help Michigan State pull away to beat Portland 82-67 on Monday night in his first game as a top-ranked team. And get this, 13 seasons. That's right, you have to rewind the clock all the way back to 2001, folks. Now, Appling matched a career high with 5 3-pointers, making each of his attempts from beyond the arc. He also had 7 assists and, get this, only 1 turnover. Keith was great last night. Now, the Spartans are 4-0. They struggled in the first half, leading by 4 points after 7 lead changes and 3 ties. Now, Travis Trice's 3-pointer broke a tie with 12 minutes and 26 seconds left, and he followed that up seconds later with a beautiful steal and a layup on a fast break. Gary Harris hit a 3-pointer, the team's 11th from the behind the arc, midway through the second half, that put Michigan State ahead by 10 points for the first time all game. Now, Adrian Payne, he scored 19 points. Gary Harris had 15 for the Spartans. Nicholas and Bobby Sharp, they had 11 points apiece for the Pilots, who had 6 players score at least 7 points. And MSU also out-rebounded Portland, but not by much, only 5-rebound difference there. So, again, MSU, they really squeaked that one out. It was a tight one up until about that 12-minute mark in the second half. We're going to dive into that game later on. You get to hear from Tom Izzo, and he gave some high praise for Keith Appling, again, who matched that career high with 25 points and 5 3-pointers, folks. He could not miss from deep. You get to hear what Tom Izzo had to say about Keith Appling. You also get to hear Izzo's thoughts on the number one ranking, and he has some thoughts for all of you out there. Yes, he had some strong opinions about the lack of attendance last night during that MSU game against Portland. There were a lot of empty seats, to say the least, last night, folks, and Izzo was disappointed. So you'll get to hear his thoughts on that in just a second. All right, Michigan State women's basketball redshirt freshman Ariel Power. She was recognized for her standout play this week by being named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week, as announced by the conference office on Monday. Now, Powers, who was also one of three players named to the Player of the Week honor roll, she led MSU in scoring in both games this week, averaging 21.5 points, 7 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and 2.5 steals in about 29 minutes of play. Now, in Sunday's 96-89 OT winner over Dayton, and MSU also plays Dayton again tomorrow night at the Breslin Center, Powers tied for the team lead with 24 points on 10 of 19 shooting while filing the stat sheet, and, you know, with 7 rebounds. 7 rebounds as well, 5 assists, 5 steals. I mean, she was absolutely great in that game against Dayton. She pushed the game to overtime with a beautiful floater with less than 10 seconds remaining, tying the game at 78. Her 24 points, along with fellow freshman Tori Jankowska, were the most points scored by a Spartan freshman since April 5th of 2008. Now, in the home opening, 102-54 win over Canisius on Thursday night, Powers paced the Spartans with 19 points in only 23 minutes. She went 7-for-11 from the field and 4-for-4 from the free throw line while adding 7 rebounds. Powers is the first Spartan to earn Freshman of the Week honors since Becca Mills did on November 14th, 2011. Again, MSU, they will be back in action tomorrow night at the Breslin Center against Dayton. I believe that's a 7 o'clock tip-off, and I'll be talking with the MSU players later on this evening as they wrap up practice today, as they prepare for that matchup against Dayton, and get Powers' thoughts on being Big Ten Freshman of the Week. So look forward to that on tomorrow's Current Sports. All right, MSU Soccer Selection Show. The Michigan State men's soccer team, they were selected as the number 11 overall seed in the 2013 NCAA tournament, as announced yesterday afternoon on NCAA.com. The Spartans are 12-5-3. That's how they finished up the season. They will host the winner of Louisville and Denver in the second round at DeMartin Stadium on Sunday at 1 p.m. The Spartans concluded their regular season with a valiant Big Ten tournament run, advancing to the title game for the second time in as many years. Now, though MSU fell to defending national champions Indiana in the final, the Spartans finished third in the Big Ten standings with a 3-2-1 record. Now, Michigan State will be making its 16th NCAA tournament appearance in school history and 6th in the last 7 years. Head coach Damon Rensing is making his 3rd appearance in 4 seasons at the helm of the Spartans. So we'll see how that pans out. Again, that round one game for the Michigan State soccer team will be at DeMartin Stadium Sunday at 1 p.m. All right, the 13th ranked Spartans are a 7.5 point favorite to win at Northwestern on Saturday, according to VegasInsider.com. Now, a Spartan victory could clinch the Legends Division Championship and a December 7th trip to Indianapolis to face the Leaders Division Champion, which will probably be Ohio State. Michigan State can also clinch if Wisconsin beats Minnesota, and the Badgers are a 15-point favorite to beat the Gophers in Minneapolis on Saturday. Now, third-ranked Ohio State is the odds-on favorite to clinch the Leaders Division on Saturday, as the Buckeyes are a 33-point home favorite over Indiana. Now, Michigan State has only lost one game against the spread in its past 8 contests. So we'll see how that pans out. All right, Jim Schwartz, we talked about the Lions a lot yesterday and their loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. Now, a day after fumbling away their NFC North Division lead with a 37-27 loss at Pittsburgh, in which they haven't won in Pittsburgh since, get this, 1955. That's a long time. Now, the Lions coach, Jim Schwartz, he was still defending his ill-advised decision to fake a field goal early in the fourth quarter, saying, quote, "Everybody knows why we called it and why we practiced it," referring to the Lions locker room. He went on to say, quote, "We really don't care what anybody else feeling is. We got the look that we wanted. We thought it was there. We didn't execute it great." He went on to say, "We have a chance right there to really put a dagger in that game and go up 11. We didn't get it done. We still had a chance to get them stopped. And even if we gave up a drive, we had confidence in our offense being able to come back and score. We didn't do any of those things. You're going to be scrutinized. Hey, if we are successful in that situation and we go up 11 right there, I don't know what you would write. You would write, it's a different attitude. Lions, they're going for the win. They're not trying to just settle for field goals. That's a big day. And he went on to say, regardless of what happened in the play, the mentality was still the same. We were aggressively trying to take what the defense gave us. We thought we had that play. We didn't execute it great. So, of course, Schwartz taking a lot of heat for that that fake field goal, which, you know, many people, you know, when you talk about this game, feel as though that was the momentum shifter. And, you know, who knows what would have happened if they would kick the field goal and went up by a touchdown. But Schwartz taking a lot of criticism. He's still sticking to his guns, folks, even though I thought it was idiotic. Schwartz is not, he is not relenting any fathom of any other thought. So there you have that. Schwartz is sticking to his gun. I thought that was a pretty funny comment right there. All right, in arguably the most competitive Monday night game of the season, the Carolina Panthers edged the New England Patriots 24-20 for the sixth consecutive win, barely. Hats off to Matt. Matt actually called this game. I actually had the Patriots winning this game. Alex and I both had the Patriots. But, man, what a game it was, you know. But Tom Brady led the Patriots to the Panthers' 18-yard line with 3 seconds remaining. This is the play that everyone's talking about. And fired a pass down the seam to tight end Rob Gronkowski. Now, the pass was intercepted by Panthers safety Robert Lester, but a flag was thrown in the back of the end zone. Now, after initially ruling pass interference on linebacker Luke Kuechly, the officials waved off the penalty, deeming the pass uncatchable, leaving the Patriots dumbfounded. This is a direct quote from Patriots coach Bill Belichick saying, quote, "There was no explanation given to me. Officials ran off the field. It was the last play of the game. There was a flag thrown, and then the game was over." Now, had the penalty stood, the Patriots would have had an untimed down from the Patriots' one-yard line. Now, Tom Brady angrily followed two officials off the field, but seemed to cool down in the post-game interviews and didn't want to make excuses. He went on to say, quote, "I don't make the calls or the rules. I wish it wouldn't have come down to that. I think there were plenty of plays we could have made, but it did. They're going to make the call or they're not going to make the call, but we play better than that." So that's the play that everyone is talking about from that Monday night game. It was a great, great game, and it's really unfortunate that, you know, now the storyline on this Tuesday about that game has to do with whether it was a pass interference or not on that last play. So we'll never know. You just got to take it with a grain of salt and keep it moving. But Man, great game, great Monday night game, something that we've not been able to say really at all this entire NFL season. So, all right, and some sad news in the NFL world. Former Atlanta Falcon Thomas Howard was killed in a high-speed traffic collision Monday, just a week after being cut from the team. Howard, whose BMW was traveling between 100 and 110 miles per hour, lost control of his vehicle that collided with the back of a semi truck. The car then catapulted across traffic and struck two more vehicles. Howard and another driver were killed instantly at the scene. Howard played college football at Texas El Paso and was drafted in the second round of the 2006 NFL draft by the Oakland Raiders, where he played until 2010. He spent two seasons with the Cincinnati Bengals before joining the Falcons earlier this year. Thomas was a fine young man, personable and engaging. He always had a smile on his face. He returned to El Paso frequently and was always eager to give back to UTEP. He was a superb alum and friend of the university. It's just hard to believe that he's gone. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family. That's from UTEP Athletic Director Bob Stoll. Sad, sad news there. Thomas Howard killed in a high-speed traffic collision yesterday. Sad stuff there. All right. Muhammad Ali writes, Authentic Brands Group, known as ABG, has purchased the intellectual rights to Muhammad Ali. The group, who also manages the licensing rights of Marilyn Monroe and Elvis Presley, purchased the property, which includes a massive library of photos and videos and the boxer's famous quotes like, "Float like a butterfly," "Thriller in Manila," and many, many others. ABG president and chief marketing officer said the purchase was an easy decision as his appeal goes beyond just athletics. Quote, "We bought this partly because of who Ali was as a sportsman and partly because who Ali is as a humanitarian." Now, no stranger to sports, ABG also owns the Spider, Prince, Elkton, I don't even know what that is, and Tapu T Brands. So they own a lot of stuff. That's what it comes down to it. And now they earn the intellectual rights to Muhammad Ali. There you have that. All right, and this is just a strange, strange story here, folks. A girls high school basketball coach in the U.S. has resigned. Now, after being accused of biting a player in the face. Yes, now, League Academy coach Doyle Wolverton is accused of biting a player during a timeout in a November 12th game in Marion County, Mississippi. Now, the player was taken to a hospital emergency room for a Carthage after the team returned. Now, and hospital employees called the sheriff's police because the injury allegedly stemmed from an assault. Now, a police report states a deputy took pictures of the bite mark. The report was filed by the father of the girl, whose name was not released. The report alleges that Wolverton grabbed the player, quote, by the shirt and then bit her on the right side of the face after a bad play. That's according to the Jackson Clarion Ledger. Now, Wagner said Wolverton resigned on Monday, but the coach told the newspaper he couldn't confirm nor deny that he stepped down. Now, a school official told the Clarion Ledger that there would be a statement on the incident on Tuesday. Wolverton has reportedly coached at Leak Academy in Madden for 38 years and has, get this, more than 1,200 career wins. Wolverton is the second. That makes him the second winningest coach in high school girls basketball history nationwide. And he's biting players. That's disturbing stuff. All right, well, those are your current sports headliners on this November 19th, 2013. If you want to call in and comment on any of those, give us a call at the station, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And today we have a pretty interesting current sports question of the day. You know, that's just a weird story. Coach biting a player. You know, there's been many, many weird stories throughout the history of sports. And today we're asking you to call in and give us, you know, just recount some weird sports stories that you can recall throughout your time that you've heard, maybe read about, or maybe even witnessed. Hey, you never know. Give us a call, 517-355-9527, and share those stories. If you do, you will be automatically entered in our drawing to possibly win two MSU home football tickets to their last home game of the season against Minnesota. So if you call in, 517-355-9527, and share a weird sports story. And I believe we have one right now. John on line one. How you doing, John? And welcome to the show.
I'm doing great. How about the Monte Teo story? That's got to be the weirdest one I've ever heard.
Yes, that's
imaginary girlfriend.
Yes, the imaginary. I knew that was coming up. Because Matt and I are going to give you our top five weirdest sports story list. I definitely, if you don't have that on your list, I don't know what's wrong with you, because that story was definitely weird, John.
Absolutely, man. I still can't believe that something like that happened. But
thanks a lot, John. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
So, yeah, there you have it. Just, you know, that's a perfect example right there. The Manti Te'o imaginary girlfriend story. How could you forget about that one? That one certainly makes my top five list. Call in. If you call in and share a story just like John did, you will automatically be entered in winning two tickets to go to the MSU Minnesota football game. This on November 30th, the final home game of the season for the MSU football team. Call in and share a weird sports story. There are certainly many of them. All right, 517-355-9527. In the meantime, let's talk MSU hoops while you guys are calling in. Again, Michigan State, they beat Portland last night, 82-67. In its first game as a top-ranked team in 13 seasons. Man, that's a long time. Again, Keith Appling was great last night. He matched a career high. He had 5 3-pointers. Didn't miss one. 5 3-pointers, making each of his attempts from behind the arc. He also had 7 assists, only 1 turnovers to go along with those matching a career high, 25 points. He was great. And here's Tom Izzo talking about the play of Appling, in which he gave him praises throughout most of the press conference yesterday. Here he is.
Well, I thought he was phenomenal. You know, I don't use that word for many players. I'm happy for him because I think if you watched his progression 2 years of and then a year when he got a lot better, and then this summer the commitment he made, and I think he likes the guys around him. He's working better with AP. He loves Gary and Zell and BJ, and you know, he's just finding guys, and he's got that extra gear. We're running better. But he also defends. You know, the last game he held that kid, it was averaging 18 to 0. And if you look at a guy that's doing it on both ends of the court, Keith has been, like I said, I don't remember a point guard that had as good an overall game in a lot of years. So happy for Keith, and I think he's grown up enough now where he can handle some success, and he's working harder in practice. He works extra and getting what he deserves.
I shot the same amount of shots this summer as I shot last summer. It's just the focus, you know, focusing more on holding my father through and paying attention to the smaller things that's going to help help make me hit shots on a more consistent basis.
Is there a moment tonight where, you know, you felt like the team was finally going to pull away for the victory?
Yeah, definitely in the second half after Travis had came up that big steal. You know, I felt like that was a momentum booster for us. And I kind of figured that that's where we would kind of take off a little bit.
Friday, Coach kind of knocked the energy on this team. Compared to Friday, like, how was it today, do you think?
It was better, but not where it needs to be if we want to accomplish some of our team goals. You know what I mean? But even though we picked up in the second half, we just can't have a start like we did today.
So that was Keith Ablick and Tom Izzo talking about, you know, Keith's, just really honing in on Keith's performance last night. Again, he matched a career high with 25 points, only one turnover throughout this entire game. Matt joins me now to kind of dig into this game. And first of all, man, I want to talk about Keith Ablick, because it seemed to me last night, Keith Ablick, really, it's been a pleasure to see his progression throughout his time here at Michigan State, from his freshman year now to being a senior leader on this team now. He's really become a great – I don't know where the shooting touch has come from, but his shot is so much better. It's really evolved throughout his time at Michigan State. And, you know the turnovers, only had one turnover last night. He's finding guys. I mean, he did it all last night. And Tom Izzo said it himself. It was one of the best point guard performances that he's ever seen, being involved with the game of basketball, which is – that's high, high praise.
Absolutely. And he's seen some great guards come through East Lansing.
Oh, yeah.
And to have Keith Ablick in that company is definitely a positive step. And honestly, you know, the shooting has come and gone over his career. Like, he's had hot streaks, and then he goes real cold for, you know, a few weeks or so. But I think the biggest change for me when I watch him is the decision making. He just seems like he's in control. He's no longer the two guard in a one guard's body. You know, he's a point guard. He is a point guard. He is the point guard of the team. You know, it's clear that he is the leader. You know, there was a question last night about, you know, did Keith Ablick kind of separate himself as far as, like, a captain would go? And, you know, captaincy, that's overrated. I don't really think that matters that much. But you can see that, you know, when the chips are down, he is the guy that everybody kind of turns to. And he's the guy who's stepping up. I mean, these games shouldn't be as close as they are. They'd be a lot closer and a lot worse. We'd be worrying a lot more if he's not playing the way he's playing right now. Because, you know, we're still looking for, you know, some contributions from the bigs, the non-Adrian Payne big guys.
Right, that's the biggest question right now. But, yeah, I mean, Keith is really doing a great job. Yeah, Keith, if anybody, I mean, you can't knock what Keith Ablick has done so far in this season. I mean, and, you know, it's still early. You know, that's what I have to keep reminding myself. I mean, you know, even though they did struggle, you know, they had a nail-biter against Columbia, you know, and they had one last night against Portland, where it did not look good up until, you know, about that 12-minute mark in the second half for MSU. But, you know, it's still early. This team is still, you know, historically, if you look at MSU's basketball team, they get better as the season goes on. So I wouldn't harp on it. I wouldn't panic right now. And I think that's what a lot of people were doing, you know, just up in the press box talking with, you know, colleagues, you know, Rico up there. I'm sitting like, hold on, it's still the beginning of the season here, and they play Kentucky already. And Tom Izzo said himself last night, you know, Kentucky and Portland are probably two of the best teams you'll probably see this entire regular season that they played, and they played them early. It's still November, and they're playing teams like that. And, you know, to squeak out wins, you know, against Portland like they did. And, you know, yeah, granted, you know, I guess you can, you know, harp on that performance in Columbia, because that's a team that they're supposed to handle at the end of the day. And, you know, you hone in on those bigs. The bigs have to play better, which I think they will as the season goes on. That's no doubt that, you know, there's question marks there when you talk about that the front court of this MSU basketball team. But yeah, overall, I think we just need to chill out for a little bit and just kind of put everything in perspective and realize that it's still November 19th.
Absolutely. I mean, I was looking earlier. The last time they didn't lose a game in November was 2009-2010, and they lost a game on December 1st.
Right.
So, you know, it's not unusual for them to get off to a slow start. This is a work in progress.
They get better as the season goes on.
Exactly. That's what you want. You don't want a team that's playing, you know, firing on all cylinders in the middle of November when nobody cares. You want them peaking in March and hopefully April. So I think, you know, any worry about the performance that they're putting out right now,
it's premature.
Exactly.
It's way too premature.
I mean, there's so much time. We haven't even gotten to Christmas break yet, and that's where they usually kind of start coming together. And by New Year's, when the Big Ten season kicks off, they start to look like the team that they're going to be. Right now, it's so early. I mean, Denzel Valentine hasn't had an impact on any of the games.
No, not at all.
So far.
Yeah, that's something we talked about it last night, Matt, about, you know, what we will see out of Denzel as the season goes on. But, you know, the season is still early. We still have to see more from this team to really make a fair evaluation when they start to click and play more teams and get that experience of just playing out there on the hardwood and playing in games. You know what I mean?
Right. And part of the expectation is that they're the number one team in the country.
Oh, yeah. When you get that target on your back so early, I mean, everybody expects you to be the creme de la creme, cream of the crop.
I mean, you
every
better
single
be
time.
Dominating people every time out on the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes it's tough to match the energy of a Portland who is coming into your building and playing the number one team in the country and excited to play the number one team in the country.
Right.
And, you know, there's some empty seats in the stands.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's a Monday night.
Right.
You know,
it's
tough to bring that energy, and you could see it. But the other thing is, it's tied at 46. It's 46 all. Trice gets he hits a three and gets
huge.
A steal and
five
a layup.
5-point swing in a blink of an eye.
Exactly. And then, you know, before you know it, they're up 18.
Right. Exactly.
It's crazy how this team can just turn it on.
Yeah, it's like a light switch. They can turn it on and off. I mean, when they need it to when they need to, you know.
Right.
And,
it's dangerous, but they can do it.
It's very dangerous. You can't do that against bigger teams other than Portland. You know what I mean? As the season goes on, you gotta be able to hone that and turn it, keep it on the whole game. But yeah, I mean, you got to know that when you have the number one ranking, you know, and that target on your back, especially so early, because they haven't had this number one ranking this early in the season in 13 years. You know, this is new for them. That's still an adjustment period, and you got to know that when teams come in, they know that they're playing the best in the nation and could possibly pull out a win and be, you know, on SportsCenter, you know, the highlight of the talk of the town in the nation. You know, they're playing with nothing to lose, and you're going to get teams' best effort every time you step out there on the court. And that could be that's an adjustment mentally for a team and also when you're out there playing on the court. So, but you know what? I want to switch gears real quick. Here's Izzo talking about that number one ranking. And, Tom, what does it mean?
God, you're asking me the toughest question at all. Well, let me explain it. It means zero. There's no ring. There's no banners. There's nothing. There's no bonuses. You know, there's nothing for it in that respect. But when you've been here 30 years and you love this institution and you love what it stands for and you love the Johnny Green era and the Magic era and Kelser, and then you love the Skiles and Vincents and era, and then the Steve Smith era, and then, of course, the Resperts and Cleaveses, and I go through all this, and I think that there's only been three teams ranked. And yet, as I went through it with Matt Larson today, because I said, God, only three, that's almost embarrassing. And then you think, no, it's really not. It's hard to get there. Now, we were two and three a lot of times, and if we would have played some of the schedules everybody else does, but, you know, we're three, and 2 weeks into the season, we're playing Texas down there, and they were two. We're two and 2 weeks into the season, we're playing Arizona down there, and they're four, and we're five, and pretty soon we're playing Kansas. And so then you get a loss or two like we always do in the preseason. You aren't going to get the one, and you get into the conference season. You know, it's hard to work your way back up. So I look at it as a real privilege and something that means nothing except something for the program. You know, it just, you know, someday there's going to be some idiot up here like me, and he's going to say, you know what? We were the fourth one in the history. And, you know, Izzo's group had two of them, you know, and
you know, I mean, that does mean something, because it means something that your program is thought of that way. You know, you don't have to watch for the scores on the ticker. You're the first one up there. That's a plus. You know, and but it's more for the program and the institution than it is for the team and maybe us right now. It'll be more for the players later on to say, you know, that was one thing that not many people at Michigan State accomplished, and we did. You know, you always want to have those little nuggets, those little footprints that you can put together at the end of your career, and that'll be one. But we're going to have to play better than we're playing, or it's going to be fleeting quickly. But at the same time, you know what? I think, you know, we've earned some of it, and I think it'll be good. And I look at it as a privilege, not a weight on my shoulders, not a bullseye on my back. I think it's great for us, great for the university, great for the Big Ten, and but all in perspective, doesn't mean nothing in November.
You know what, Matt? I thought that was a genius answer to that question last night. It's like he acknowledged it. Of course, you have to say that the number one ranking means nothing because you have to stay even keel. You got to take each game one at a time. They all count one. And you got to stay humble and level-headed throughout an entire NCAA basketball season. That's great. But at the same time, look at Tom Izzo prides himself on where he's brought this, helped bring this program throughout the years as far as its national recognition, as far as putting it on the map, so to speak, and letting everyone know that, yeah, we have a dominant program here at Michigan State as far as basketball goes. Tom Izzo prides himself on that. That's the blue-collar work that he has put in throughout his entire, you know, tenure here to get to MSU to this point where people are, you know, even considering them to be the number one team in the nation. He prides himself on that. So in one regard, you got to say that it means nothing because they all count one. You got to stay level-headed and you got to go out there and play like it's your last game, each and every game. But on another token, that's pride right there. He's prideful of where he's brought this program and where, you know, those around him have brought this program and where Michigan State is today. And he put that aspect of it in perspective as well throughout that entire bite. I thought it was a genius answer. You couldn't have answered that question better than that.
No, I mean, exactly. I mean, is it any surprise
right. That
Tom Izzo gives a great answer?
Exactly. I mean, the man could talk for days.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And he's right in just about every aspect of it. I mean, it is meaningful for the program, but as far as where the season is going, it's not like the number one ranking in football where that actually plays a factor in what happens at the end of the year.
Right.
It's meaningless. Exactly. In that regard, it is meaningless, and he's right. But at the same time, I mean, I think he made the joke about, you know, it's the first game on the ticker. You don't have to wait for the ticker to scroll by.
I thought that was great, too, yeah.
Because it's
yeah.
the first one that comes up.
First one that comes up.
And he's right there, too. And that is convenient. So,
that's,
you know,
so convenient. You don't have to, well, you know, wait, you know,
yeah, exactly.
about 5 minutes for MSU to come up to see what the scroll was.
It's right there.
It's right there, baby.
but he's right. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing them fight to be number one at the end of the season. And that's what they're all that's maybe the best part, is that all the players are saying the exact same things
yeah.
that Izzo is saying. They're
yeah,
all
I mean,
a reflection of Izzo.
They're all on the same page, man.
It's a veteran group. Let's get it done. I think they can do it.
I think they can, too. And now, you know, before we hit the break, I want to bring up something really briefly, and that was the lack of attendance at last night's game. I mean, there was a time you and I both were on the court, man, and I looked up. I didn't realize it until I got on the court, you know, to shoot the second half, and I'm sitting there just looking around. I looked up, and I'm like, whoa, there's a lot of empty seats here. You know, I looked at the upper bowl, you know, the top is zone. You know what I mean? There was no shirts up there. I'm like, hmm. And you know something, Matt? Somebody else noticed it too.
Disappointment. You know, I mean, I talked to some of you are good friends of mine for a long time. And, you know, we didn't play so well, but we did give a lot of credit the other night that our fans won us the game. And if you get a ranking, whether it's deserved or not, you get in a position that few Spartan fans have ever seen. All I'd ask of those people is, I got no problem you don't want to come to a game. I got no problem at all. Give your tickets, because I got thousands of people that are dying to come. And that had an effect on a lot of people, including me. So, the good news about me, when I go to Spartan Stadium, if that happens a couple years ago and we're playing for the Big Ten Championship, I felt the same way then. And it would be different if we were talking about having to pay for tickets and this and that. Those are bought tickets. So give them away. Give them to somebody. Give them to me. I'll get rid of them. Disappointment. Next question.
Well, those are Izzo's comments on the lack of attendance during last night's MSU Portland basketball game. And you know what, Matt? To be honest with you, I think we may be making too big a deal of this one. I don't know. It's just me talking. I'm just saying because if you look at it, you know, it's a Monday night. Yeah, MSU's number one in the nation, of course. They're number one in the nation. It's a Monday night game, though. You know, we just had the big storm, you know, over the weekend. You know, maybe, you know, you never know. I mean, there's a lot of power outages around. You know, people may still be trying to get the house in order right now. It's various factors that really go into this. I don't think we should make a big deal about it, even though, you know, it's any time you have the number one team in the nation and you go to the Breslin Center and you see empty seats, of course you're going to be shaking your head a little bit like, oh, what's going on here? At the same time, I don't think this would be a recurring theme throughout the season. You know what I mean? I think we may be blowing. I can understand why Izzo's mad, but I think other people are just kind of blowing out of proportion a little bit. I don't know. What do you think?
I can see that, and I think the weather thing is valid because there are a lot of people in the area who are without power and they're going to be without power.
Right, exactly.
For like
I took
the
that
entire
consideration.
Week.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe you know, basketball is important and we love to, you know, everybody loves to support the team, but at the same time, sometimes there are more important things. You got to get your home in order, and,
right.
And if, you know, you're at home and you have no electricity, I mean, how are you going to
can't go to a basketball game?
Can't email anybody about, "Hey, take these tickets because
right.
You have no power in your house."
I mean,
and obviously there are ways to go around it, but it is, you know, it's a sleepy November Monday. You know,
right.
Let's see if it happens again.
We got a problem. Houston, we got a problem.
Exactly. Let's see if it's a blip on the radar. and if it is, then we'll forget about it. But,
right.
You know, going forward, you know, it's been 13 years since we've been number one.
Go to the games,
guys.
Go to the games. I definitely understand that, yeah. If you had power.
No
excuse not to go to that game, okay? We have Todd from Lake Orion on line one. How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing well. I'm going to speak out of both sides of my mouth on this issue because I do see both sides of it. I can agree with coaches on some of the sentiment, but I think he is kind of being, correctly here. I think he's kind of running a double standard. As somebody who lives in Lake Orion, which is not right next to Lansing, I'm about an hour and 15 minutes away,
mm-hmm.
You know, I want to support my team. I've had season tickets. I haven't been able to lately because I have young kids. But let's be honest. When you move games to 9 o'clock, there's a lot of people that either got to go to work the next day or the kids got to go to school.
Yeah.
And if it takes me 2 hours, I mean, if games on television, let's be honest, the games are longer. We're talking 2 and 2.5 hours for the game because Lord knows they're not going to get rid of their TV timeouts and their commercials. I got an hour and a half to get home. Tom, I want to support you. I want to be there for you. But if I don't get home until 12:30, man, you know, especially with the young one, that's not
right.
The best situation. So if this basketball team, and again, I support them. I don't want all the exposure, money, and positivity that comes with putting games on TV. Let's be honest. Every one of these athletic programs, be it football and basketball, have sold their soul to television.
Oh, I totally agree with you, Ty.
Let me ask this. How often, I'm in my early 40s, they never played basketball games on Monday nights. They never did it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know why? They knew the people coming home. It was a school night the next day. They played on Thursdays, Saturdays, and maybe a Tuesday. Nowadays, whenever the Big Ten Network or ESPN tells them they're going to play, no matter what the time is, that's when they play. So I agree with Coach Izzo.
Mm-hmm.
Those tickets should go to somebody who wants to go, be it a children's group, a Boy Scout, or whatever. But let's be honest, Tom, you're asking an awful lot of people who maybe don't live in East Lansing or Lansing proper to make an hour-long drive there, an hour-long drive back for a 2.5-hour basketball game to get up, go to work the next day, and start all over again. So I love you, Tom. I agree with what some of you are saying, but let's be honest. This is all being done for King Television.
Yeah. Hey, thanks a lot for your call, Todd. Appreciate it. I think Todd makes you can't argue with that. You know, and I always wondered that too because if you look at MSU's schedule, I'm just taking a peek at it right now. there are a lot of 9 o'clock games. If you look at, you know, the one against North Carolina on December 4th, December 4th, that's a 9 p.m. game. If I keep going here, well, it is a 7 p.m. game against North Florida. But Ohio State, that's January 7th. That's a 9 p.m. game, which would be a huge game. I wonder, you know, Penn State is another one, you know, February 6th. I mean, there's these 9 o'clock games, and I totally agree. Man, anytime you live an hour away, and you got to make that commute on a Monday. Let's just take last night's game on a Monday. And, you know, you got kids to take to school, you know, and that's a pretty long drive. That is kind of asking a lot for somebody to make that drive. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's asking a lot for them to make the drive. Is it asking them that much to give the tickets away?
Right. That's the thing. I mean, if you're not...
It's not like that. I mean, you're reading that schedule now, and some of those games are in January.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's plenty of time to say, hey, I'm not going to be able to make that game. It's right in the middle of the week.
I think, Matt, this brings up the issue of you know, as Todd alluded to, when you talk about big networks like the Big Ten and ESPN, that it's become a circus now where whatever time they tell you that we're going to broadcast a game, you have to play at that time. And you're not going to turn down ESPN or the Big Ten network or some national network that's carrying your game, right? I mean, you're kind of like a slave to the system, and you have to just abide to what they say. And you know, if it puts, you know, somebody in a predicament like Tides where he's an hour away and, you know, it may be a early week game, you know, that kind of, that's tough.
Yeah, and that goes farther than just start times, too, because the amount of TV timeouts that are in college basketball,
it's ridiculous.
Is way, way
ridiculous.
Overboard.
Yeah.
Especially because teams still have all these other timeouts that they call.
Right.
So, you know, the pace of the game gets so choppy sometimes.
It's hard to find a rhythm sometimes.
It's one of my biggest pet peeves with college basketball is just how you can see games that have, you know, just a great flow to the game, you know, just you know, a great pace, you know, everything's clicking, not many fouls or anything, and then you hit a patch where 5 minutes of game time takes 35 minutes to play because two TV timeouts, fouls.
It's crazy.
Here.
It's, and that could disrupt, a team's chemistry out there on the court. If they're rolling, you know
exactly.
what I mean? All of a sudden, you got to take a media timeout.
It can change games because you have, you know, every 4 minutes, you have a 2.5 minute timeout.
It could change the outcome of a game without a doubt. Anytime you start breaching into what could happen on the court, that's a problem. And, you know, it needs to be reevaluated. So I can see both sides of the spectrum here. Definitely, you know, individuals who, you know, like Todd, you know, just taking Todd for an example, where they have kids, you have to bring, you know, take to school in the morning, you know, it's an hour drive away, it's the beginning of the week, you know what I mean, beginning of the work week, I can definitely see that, but again, yeah, I can see, you know, other side of the spectrum where, you know, get the tickets away, you know,
right.
Why not? It's Michigan State, I'm sure there's many that would love to go to the game, so.
Maybe they can just send them to, like, Tom Izzo.
Right, just mail it to his home.
He'll just have tickets.
Just have tickets. Just laying out on his porch. There you go.
Come pick up the tickets, guys.
Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to give you our pick'ems. And also, we're asking all of you out there to call in. And we want you to call in about the weirdest sports stories you've ever heard. Yes, that's our Top 5 Tuesday segment for today. We're listening to Top 5 Weirdest Sports Stories of All Time. If you call in, you will automatically be entered to win 2 football tickets to the MSU Minnesota game. 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, a visit to the house where JFK was born and spent his early years.
This is where he went to school. This is where he got into his first fights, where he discovered he loved books. So I think really the foundations of his curiosity, of his interest in discovering things, the experiences that shape us really all happened here.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 p.m.
Hi, I'm Joe Lindstroth, producer of Current State.
And I'm Mark Bayshore, host of Current State.
We hope you'll join us for coffee and conversation on Tuesday, November 19th at 6 p.m. at Schuler Books Chapbook Cafe in the Eastwood Town Center.
Current State wants to hear what you think we should be covering here in mid-Michigan.
That's Coffee and Conversation with Current State, Tuesday, November 19th at 6 p.m. at Schuler Books Chapbook Cafe in the Eastwood Town Center.
We hope to see you there.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, we are asking all of you, yes, you, to call in 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527, and give us some examples of some of the weirdest sports stories of all time. If you do, you will automatically be entered into a drawing to win two MSU football tickets to MSU's last home game of the season against Minnesota on November 30th. Again, the weirdest sports story you've ever heard of. 517-355-9527. While you all are calling in, we didn't get to pick'ems last night. Yesterday, Matt. And what do we got this week, man?
All right, we got plenty on the slate. A lot of Big Ten games that really matter, especially in the Legends division.
Right.
And then we got some Pistons games, and we'll get to the NFL Thursday this week. We'll leave the rest of the NFL to Friday. We will start things off MSU at Northwestern, a chance to wrap up the Legends and punch that ticket to Indianapolis. Who you got?
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, Northwestern right now, they sit at the last place in the Legends division right now. I mean, they're really looking battered and beaten. MSU's looking pretty well, sitting pretty. They just clinched at least a share of the Legends division title. Give me MSU. I'm going MSU. Picking the score. Let's see here. MSU 31 to 17.
Gosh.
I'm going crazy.
You almost said the exact same score that I have.
Really?
I have MSU 31-13.
Oh, wow.
Northwestern usually gives us trouble.
Yeah.
The only thing that worries me here is that they've played almost everyone close.
Right.
They are basically 2012 Michigan State, in which they find ways to lose games.
Yeah, they lose by inches, you know what I mean?
The most heartbreaking fashion.
Right, yeah. It's been a heartbreak season for them, you know what I mean?
How many interceptions they dropped last week against Michigan?
Oh, four. They had four of them, and two of them could have been pick sixes. Two of them could have been taken to the house for pick sixes.
And they were leading, I believe they were leading the Big Ten in interceptions.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they forget how to catch.
Crazy, right? Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Disappointing season for them. So, yeah, I'm going, 31-17, though.
All right, I got 31-13. Let's move on. U of M at Iowa.
Give me, I think they win another one, man. Give me U of M. Score on this one, too? Or?
Sure.
21-13.
I am going to take Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Their four losses are, I believe, to teams with a combined three losses. They lost to Ohio State, Michigan State, Northern Illinois, and Wisconsin.
And Wisconsin, yeah.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all,
those teams are just better than they are.
Right.
I think if they blitz, which is another thing that Northwestern didn't do enough of.
They did, man. You know what? And it's so surprising because, you know, if you were to think, you had the blueprint right there looking at Michigan State and Nebraska.
Two straight games.
To show you that
Michigan cannot handle pressure.
Right, exactly.
And
exactly.
You decide to wait and let Devin Gardner shred you in overtime.
Devin Gardner, I don't get it. Blitz the man. I mean, he can't handle the blitz. That offensive line is totally weak. I didn't understand it at all.
Me neither.
We're on the same page with that one, man.
Me neither. Iowa runs a lot of base stuff, but I think their front four will have enough of an impact that they'll win. I have them winning 17-10.
Yeah. I think that may be a close game, man.
I think it will, too.
I think that'd be a battle, to be honest with you. I mean, we'll see.
All right, and then we have, I believe it's the battle for Paul Bunyan's axe.
His axe.
There's a lot of Paul Bunyan.
There are. What? Why
a lot
is
of
that?
Paul Bunyan-centric trophies.
You need to do some research.
You think
on
it'd
that.
Be more to the Northwest.
Right, exactly.
But it isn't. Okay, so Wisconsin at Minnesota.
Give me. Well, Wisconsin.
You going to Wisconsin?
Yep.
I'm going to take him too.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota's the feel good team of the year, but
I think Wisconsin is. I was looking at the Vegas odds today. They're favored by. Is it 14? I think. Let me change. I'm gonna check that.
That's a huge line, but they are really good. I mean, they just absolutely shut down Indiana last week.
Right.
They always run all over Indiana, but they never hold them to 3 points. You know, Minnesota was rolling, and they had the bye. I think the bye might kind of take the wind out of their sails. I think it's gonna work against them more than work for them. So I'm gonna take Wisconsin as well. Then we'll move over to college basketball here.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State at Virginia Tech. In Brooklyn.
Yeah, and BK, I'm rocking my BK hat today, man. The Brooklyn Nets, baby. That's my second favorite NBA team. No one knows that.
Is that color scheme?
I'm like a closet
Were
Brooklyn
you a New
fan.
Jersey Nets fan?
I was.
Really?
Man. Yeah. I was a big Jay Kidd guy back in the day.
So, like, young Richard Jefferson?
Yeah.
When he could still move around?
Exactly. When he still had some mobility. You know, he's still playing right now, too. I can't believe it, man.
Making good money.
Gosh. Dollar bill, y'all. But, yeah, I'm going with MSU. Give me MSU. We can do a score on that one or just pick
it? Yeah, we'll just pick
just
it.
Pick. We'll just pick it.
I'm going to take MSU as well.
It's tough doing basketball scores.
I know.
It's a lot of scoring in it.
Yeah, you never know what the range is.
But, right.
You know, I would also put a Saturday pick for the next game in the Coaches versus Cancer Classic, but we don't know who they're going to play.
Right, we don't.
And neither does the Detroit Free Press, which lists a...
Yes, call it. Let's call out the Freep. This is ridiculous.
I can't.
We have to call
I
out the Detroit Freep. We got to call out the Freep today.
Front page of the sports section.
This is bad.
Five potential pitfalls for MSU.
Mm-hmm.
First one listed. Number 7, Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
That is incorrect. They are not participating in the Coaches versus Cancer Classic. Oklahoma is.
Oklahoma is.
And
they have like a whole write-up about, you know, underneath the logo and everything.
Which is drastically different. Not the same team at all.
Not the same team.
Marcus Smart plays for Oklahoma State. I feel like we would have heard all about that.
Two totally different teams. Two totally different universities. That's a big boo-boo.
I mean,
I got to call up Rex to see what's going on. Joe, what's up, man?
That's
crazy.
That's bad.
When you showed that to me, you just showed that to me when we just hit that break. I'm sitting like, no, they did not just do that. That's crazy. Okay.
See, I had to double check because I thought, wow, maybe we will play Oklahoma State. I'd love to watch that game. I would love to watch Marcus Smart duel it out with Keith Appling.
That'd be interesting.
Maybe they're it's just wishful thinking.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's something we didn't read. That's something we didn't read in there.
Oh,
but yeah, Oklahoma or Seton Hall, folks, all right?
There you go. All right, so let's move to the NBA quickly. We'll do some Pistons games here.
Yep.
We got the Knicks tonight.
I think the Pistons win tonight.
You think the Pistons win
tonight? They rebound. I think Jennings has a great game. I wish Stuckey didn't play. He's going to play a lot of minutes tonight. But you know how much I hate Brandon Stuckey on the court.
That's one of our favorite subjects.
Yeah. Stuckey. Why is Stuckey playing the game of basketball?
Disgusting.
All right.
I think I'm going to take the Pistons as well.
Okay.
All right. Now, they also have two games against the Hawks this week.
They do.
So I am
Are they back-to-back?
I don't know if they're back-to-back as far as one day to the next.
Okay.
I think it might be a day
off. I think they split.
Between.
I think they split with the Hawks.
That's what I'm going to ask you. So you think they split?
I think they split with the Hawks. Watch out. I think Al Horford to have a big game in both of those.
And Josh Smith.
Going
back home.
Yeah, going back home, playing his old team, man. That's going to be very interesting.
I'm
going
to take a split as well.
Pistons got to get better defensively, though. I tell you that.
Oh, yeah, they do. They are
bad defensive team.
Terrible.
Man. Terrible defensive team. So
they can have all the high flyers they want, but if you can't play defense, you're going to lose games.
It means
games.
Nothing. You can't keep trading buckets, man.
Yep. All right. And then to wrap things up for the Pistons, we have them facing your Brooklyn Nets.
Who is playing? Hold on. What game was that?
Pistons.
Pistons in Brooklyn.
At
really?
Brooklyn.
I didn't know they play this week.
Sunday.
Oh, that's going to be interesting. And Paul Pierce is back from his injury now. Brooklyn.
Yep.
Brooklyn. Give me Brooklyn. The fan in me almost came out.
I want to take the Pistons too, but Brooklyn is a better team.
BK is stacked. We have a call right now, Matt, really quick. Kirk, how you doing, Kirk?
Not too bad, Al. How are you?
Very well, very well. Thank you for calling.
So your topic is weird things in sports,
yes,
right?
The weirdest sports stories in sports history. What you got for us, Kirk? Give me some good.
I've got a couple that... Well, a couple that to me are kind of humorous and one that's just flat out sad. But and they're all kind of local to the region, so to speak.
Okay.
The first one I want to talk about is Manti Te'o's thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I got to tell you, I've never been one that's believed that story.
Mm-hmm.
They did all kinds of fundraising for this mythical girlfriend and... I maintain that if someone just follows the money, you discover it's more than just a simple catfishing stupidity thing. But
right.
So that's one.
Okay.
The other, and I find that one kind of humorous. Quite
frankly. That's hilarious. A fake girl, Kirk. You ever had a fake girlfriend?
No.
Oh boy.
Anyway, the other one that I find humorous is Nate Burleson breaking his arm trying to keep a pizza from sliding off.
Yes. That made my list too, Kirk. Yep.
You know, and then to top it off, to have DiGiorno give him a year's worth of frozen pizza.
Exactly, right? That's hilarious, right?
I mean, you know, more people are going to be breaking their arms wanting to give free pizza.
A lot of traffic accidents because of that one. All right, what else you got, Kirk? Is that it?
And the one that's sad. Is the death of Eric Andelsek. Anybody who gets hit by an 18-wheeler while he's raking leaves in his front yard, that has got to be one of the weirdest dang things I've ever heard of in my life.
When did that happen?
Eric Andelsek was an all-pro guard for the Detroit Lions back in the 80s, I
think it was. It was like the same year. It was the preseason or the off season that was the same year that Mike Utley broke his neck. They had a great offensive line coming back with Andelsek and Utley at guards, and boy, the season looked promising. Andelsek gets killed in the off season by having a truck run over him in his own yard while he's raking leaves or some such thing.
Oh my goodness!
And then Utley breaks his neck a few games into the season. Look up your Lion history; you'll find it out. It was Lion snake bit all over in the offensive line. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that is unbelievable. With Kirk, that is a very good list, brother.
All right.
Thanks a lot for the call, Kirk. Wow, those are some pretty interesting ones. Matt, do we have any more picks? Real quick, we got 5 minutes.
One more, really one more, quick. Real New quick. Orleans at Atlanta on Thursday.
Give me Atlanta.
Taking Atlanta.
I'm taking Atlanta.
Oh, my.
Yep, I think I upset there.
Goodness.
Yep. I'm taking Atlanta. The Pelicans, right? The Pelicans.
New Orleans Saints. At the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the NBA.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm tripping. Okay, thank you. Okay,
yeah.
I'm like, hold on.
I was like, are you sure you want to take the Falcons to win?
Okay, whoa, hold on. It's the Saints, brother.
You are lucky. I'm so nice.
Thank you. Thank you for that, man.
All right, let's get to this top five.
Let's get to this. Yeah, top five. What is yours?
We got 5 minutes. This is the most fun I've ever had looking things up, by the way.
Great stuff, right?
This was a great, great topic. All right, number five, back in somewhere from 2001 to 2003, it came out that Moises Alou urinated on his hands in the shower to toughen them up because he doesn't wear batting gloves.
Really?
And Jorge Posada agreed with him and his tactics, saying, quote, "You don't want to shake my hand during spring training."
Get out of here, really?
Can't make it up. That's a real story. Urinate on your hands to make them tougher.
I'm going
to
do that at I Am West this weekend and see if does it work for grip.
You go ahead and do
grip,
that.
Right? I'm going to do that at I Am West.
You're going to get some weird looks.
I'm going to go in the bathroom and then come back out. Game time, baby.
All right. Number four, I've got a quick trio. They're all injury related. LA Kings forward Dustin Penner hurts his back when he's bending over to eat a short stack of pancakes that his wife made him for breakfast.
A short stack.
He missed, too few pancakes, honey. I hurt my back. I can't play tonight. Oh, boy.
All right. Hilarious.
Moving on. Bill Gramatica.
Yeah.
One of the famous Gramatica brothers hits a 43-yard field goal in the first quarter in a game versus the Giants, celebrates, as the Gramaticas are wont to do, tears his ACL, out for the year. The team loses the game 17-13. Whoa. Don't celebrate before the game
We've
is over, people.
We've seen that a few times in sports,
Oh, gosh. Also, injury-related, Joel Zamaya, way back in 2006, the Tigers' first World Series run, misses the ALCS because he played too much Guitar Hero.
Are you serious?
Stop playing video games.
Stop it.
It's not good for
your
you.
Health,
you're
going to
miss the ALCS. All right, number three. We just heard this earlier. Kenichi Ito is a Japanese, I guess you would call him a sprinter. He broke the Guinness World Record for the fastest 100-yard meter dash, or 100-meter dash on all fours. He ran it in 16.87 seconds. He said, "You know, my face and body kind of looks like a monkey, so from a young age, everyone used to tease me saying, 'Monkey, monkey,' he told the International Business Times, but I wasn't really bothered because I really liked them, and somewhere inside of me, I had this ambition to adopt one of their traits, and that trait is to run on all fours." It's a pretty hilarious YouTube video.
I can't stop laughing right now.
Just imagine, warming up at the track, and you see a guy just
running like a monkey.
Just rumbling on all fours. Hilarious. Number two. Kansas City Royals fan sues the club for $25,000 because the mascot Slugger hit him in the face with a hot dog during a kind of fan promotion thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Detached his retina.
With a hot dog.
They did not rule in his favor. Number one, it's got to be Manti Te'o catfishing.
It's Manti Te'o,
they had a Dr. Phil special on
exactly.
it.
Exactly. A whole, that's anytime
you don't
you
see
a
that
Dr.
every
Phil
day.
Special about something like that, that's funny stuff. Oh. All right. I don't think we'll get to my list.
I'm
sorry.
That's
great stuff. That had me die. I'm still trying to contain myself here. A lot of folks, Austin says Manti Te'o. Martin Weiss says Danny Alamante and lying about his age in the Little League World Series has to be on the list.
Yes.
Max Rebner, a friend of the show, Randy Johnson hitting a bird. Chris Bertley says Michigan State's golf coach sued for illegal music downloads. That's a local feel there. And Tim Duncan rumored, he cheated on his wife, and his wife says he cheated on him on her, excuse me, with another man. Did you hear about that one?
I haven't.
That's a rumor. There's some validity to this. If you look up that one, that's interesting stuff. So we'll get to my list. I'll finish up my list tomorrow. But all right. Thanks to everyone who tuned into Current Sports today. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Shar, Matt Lunke, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Wharf, our station manager here at WKR. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in and calling in with the craziest stories in sports. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR East Lansing and WKR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day and be easy, people.